Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Oh, sorry, I had it on mute. Hey, good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show. This is Charlie, and I had myself on mute accidentally. I sincerely apologize. I was just talking away. Anyway, this is the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charlie Stecker. I am blessed to be your host once again this Wednesday evening. Before I begin going through the normal procedures of what we do in this portion of the show, I do want to take a moment and ask everyone that's listening to please honor for a moment of silence for a dear sister of NASCA, a friend of our show, a former host and co-host of our show, who the majority of the NASCA family found out today was called home from this earthly place to her next place. While her soul has departed her earthly body, her spirit will live on through all of us. So I dedicate this show this evening, this special guest show and our special guest time, to Laura Halverson out of Wisconsin. Laura, you'll be missed, but you're with us all in spirit. Just for a moment, folks, just a moment of silence for Laura's memory. Thank you very much for that. Thank you. Okay, so tonight is Special Guest Wednesday. That means that we are going to have a special guest who will come on and share their story or portions of the story, whatever they feel they're up to. Tonight we do have a returning guest, so I am going to give a little more free rein, per se, to the person who's a returning guest so that they can take things where they want. Now, our special guest this evening, when I do that, if you're not comfortable and you need some guidance or you need some, you know, some questions or things to help you along, please don't hesitate to ask me and let me know, because I will most definitely do that for you. And I, first of all, thank you for your patience and me not being here when the mic queued up. I muted myself because my dog was barking in the background during the intro and forgot to unmute. All right, so again, let me just give some ground rules for our guests, our panel members, as you begin to call in. I want to let you know that tonight's topic is whatever our special guest wants to talk about, which is their story. If you have something you want to share with them or enlighten with them or ask them about, I do ask you, out of courtesy to our guests, that we keep things around their story. Each of us has our own story, and there's ways that each of our stories intertwine with one another, and that's wonderful. And so if, as long as it does that, that's what I would ask, because if you were our special guest, I would definitely want the same for you. Matter of fact, if you've never been a special guest on this show and you want to be on any of the Monday, Wednesday, or Friday night special guest shows, please get a hold of NASCA at NAASCA.org. Look on there. You'll find many of us. You'll find folks that coordinate these shows. And get yourself on the list. We'd love to have you on. And if you're listening right now and you want to join our panel, well, let me tell you how you do that. You dial 646-595-2118. Once again, 646-595-2118. That'll get you to Willy Wonka Gold Bar, to the panel, where you can listen in. You can interact with the guests from time to time. However it is you want to do. If you've not called in before and you feel like you're a little concerned, a little scared, not sure what to do, call in. As a matter of fact, Laura, who I'm dedicating this show tonight to, that's what she did when she first started out. She would just call in. She wouldn't talk. She would just call in and allow herself. And over time, she went from calling in to being actively listening and actively interacting, and then worked herself into hosting shows, co-hosting shows, and then decided it wasn't a fit for her, and she went on to do other things, but was still here and is part of our NASCAR family, and she will be really missed. So with all that being said, let me go ahead and get our special guest intro done, and not that I'm trying to push things, but I want to get through it so we can get our guest panel on, introduce them, and get our special guest going for this evening. Okay, so tonight's special guest is, now, I am so sorry. I'm probably going to mess your name up. Please forgive me ahead of time and redirect me as soon as you get on the air. She's actually been a friend of mine for quite a while on Facebook. But it is, I want to say, Laika Vicenta Phipps. I think the only part I got right was the Phipps, although that might be wrong, too. She is from Racine, Wisconsin. She's a returning NASCAR family member. She is a survivor of abuse on many levels. Laika says, after living with a physically and verbally abusive father, a passive-aggressive and manipulative mother, and dealing with abuse from her siblings, her first attempt to escape the abuse by marrying did not work out. Laika was scapegoated not only by her family, but also by people in her town who spread gossip. She describes the feeling saying, my life was hell, and I couldn't get away. However, she did eventually break away from the abuse, and in recovery has used her experience to speak out for rights and protection of others. Laika founded an initiative. Let me repeat that. Laika founded Youth Voice Initiative. And it might be Laika. I may be mispronouncing her name, and she will redirect me when she gets on air. From the rest of this bio you're going to hear, I'll refer to the Youth Voice Initiative as YVI, so you know what I'm referring to. It is a nonprofit social action group that authors and lobbies laws to protect women and children from dangers that arise from abuse and other laws that take away tools from child predators who conspire to commit crime. YVI also addresses the growing problems of domestic violence. YVI gathers support for these laws and builds awareness to the problems that inspire them. Some of the successful laws, like has lobbied, include the state of Wisconsin for Act 177, a fair pay bill for equal work, and the miniskirt bill, which renders the attire of the rape victim inadmissible as evidence against the victim in court. They've also worked on two federal laws called the Violence Against Women Act of 1993 and the Safer Campuses for Women. YVI is currently working on several new laws. Read Ms. Salicenta's blog at, well, I'm just going to tell you to go to, well, it's HTTP, let me call in, underscore, or I don't know how to say all this stuff, but anyway, the link is on here. It's likesalamentes.blogspot.com. I'm sure we'll repeat that, and somebody else will put that in the show as we go along. Okay, so here we go. I am going to go ahead and introduce our panel members. And again, I do encourage our panels, people to call in and become members of the panel. We do have a pretty good-sized panel tonight already, which I'm very happy to see. And so let's start off again in no particular order, except by how it is on the screen in front of me. I'm going to first bring on my co-host this evening, Linda from New Jersey. Good evening, Linda, and welcome.
Good evening, Charlie. Good evening, Laika. I am so happy to be here, and you have a big panel, so I'm looking forward to your story so much. Thank you.
Linda, thank you for being here. Thank you for assisting us with co-hosting. And thank you for reminding me that I was still on mute. All right, next we're going to go to Joe from Oregon, my dear sister out there in Oregon. Good evening, Joe, and welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Charlie, and I'm looking forward to the guests this evening as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you. And next, we're heading off to the great state of Washington. Not Washington, D.C., the state of Washington, up there in the northwest corner of the United States, to bring Penelope on. Good evening, Penelope.
Good evening, Charlie, and good evening. I hope it's pronounced Laika or I hope it's pronounced like that. You know, you can call me Penelope or Penelope if it's not. So I hate it when people mispronounce my name, but I'm really looking forward to your show, and especially hearing about the Youth Violence Initiative that you founded and some of your other involvement. So I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being here, Penelope. We truly appreciate you. Next, we're going from the furthest northwest part of the country to the furthest southeast part of the country. We're heading down to sunny Florida to say hello to Bailey. Good evening, Bailey.
Hey, good evening. Hi, Linda. Hi, Charlie. I didn't really get a chance to read up on, and I didn't hear the bio of your guest. I just wanted, I'm very emotional about Laura's death. I had just spoken to her not too long ago, and I knew that she was not doing well, and I'm devastated that I didn't get a chance to check up on her this past week. And I was talking to Bill earlier, and I said that I think it's very important that as a NASCA family, we start being more on top of checking in on each other when we know somebody's going through a rough time. So I felt like I had to call in and say something about her. She was a sweet, very sweet woman. And my heart is broken, and I will be listening to the guest. I probably may not stay on the phone. I will probably listen from online because I will have my children around shortly. So call in about that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bailey. And just so you're aware, I know you did say you didn't get to hear the introduction before I even began the show's introduction today. I had taken the liberty of dedicating this show to the memory of our dear sister, Laura, and the news that we all received today. And I want to say thank you to Bill for taking the time to reach out to us personally. I know he reached out to me personally and the other NASCA family members. Everyone, I'm sure he was able to. If he didn't call you, please don't take it as a slight. He was reaching out to us and letting us know. So I'm here with you, Laura. We have dedicated this show. I have the show tonight, while like it is our special guest, I dedicated the overall show in the memory of Laura Halverson, our dear sister, whose soul has left her body, but her spirit lives on within us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And your love, Bailey, and stay in touch. Next, we went from Florida, so we were in the northwest part of the country up in Washington State. Then we zipped over and went down to Florida, which is as far as southeast, and now we're going the furthest northeast state we have, which is Maine. We're going to have Kathy come on. Good evening and welcome, Kathy.
Hi, am I unmuted?
You are unmuted.
Okay.
You are unmuted.
I'm looking forward to it like it was one of my first connections outside of the groups, and I just looking forward to it all. I'm fascinated with these endeavors. She's looked forward, you know. And, Charlie, I've got a phone. Got it all wired. I'm cool. No problem. So thank you. You know, used to go dead all the time, you know. So anyhow, and the mute button works, I think. So I think I'm going to mute it and listen, and I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Kathy, thank you. And obviously my mute button works because I had myself muted when the show was supposed to start. But welcome, good evening, Kathy, and thank you for being here. Folks, I am preparing to bring on our special guest and get her going on whatever it is to burn her heart here tonight. But I do want to encourage you again, if you want to call in to this show and be a member of this panel, you're welcome to call in to 646-595-2118. Again, 646-595-2118, and we'll bring you on to the show. You can be a panel member. If you don't want to say anything, just let my co-host Linda know that you'd prefer to listen, and she'll make a note so that way I don't bring you into the panel discussion from time to time. Which leads me to this, about every 15, 20 minutes during the show, we will take a break from our special guest sharing what it is that's on their heart to share, and we will bring each of our panel members in one at a time to have an opportunity to question and or interact with our special guest. I do ask you to keep it as brief as you can, as direct as you can, and understanding and being cognizant of the fact that we do have other panelists waiting, and we do have the special guest who wants to continue in what they want to share with that. With all that being said, and with Leica being so kind and waiting so long for me to get her on air, let's bring Leica in now. Good evening, Leica, and welcome, and happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much. And my name is Leica, and my blog is Leica's Laments, L-I-K-A-S. I couldn't put the apostrophe in there, sorry. But it's L-I-K-A-S, Laments, L-A-M-E-N-T-S.
Oh, thank you for that clarity. Okay. So it is Leica, and I sincerely apologize, Leica, for mispronouncing your name, and I will make sure I don't do that again. You and I have been connected for some time in social networking, but I apologize. So welcome. I'm, you know, I always say, we all say, a lot of us say on these shows, we're excited to hear your story. And you know what? I say this too. I'm excited to have the day when we try to look for a special guest and we can't find one because we don't have any more stories to tell because we've been able to slow down and or stop this pandemic, horrid child abuse. But tonight, I'm not sure where you want to go with your story, but knowing what I've heard about the YVI, Youth Voice Initiative, I want to clarify, I know one of our panelists might have misunderstood what the V stood for, but it's Youth Voice Initiative. But Leica, I'm going to mispronounce your name again. Leica, take it away wherever you want. I mean, if you want to share your story from childhood, that's fine. If you want to share where you are now, whatever you want to do, the stage is yours. If you need my help, I'm here for you.
Okay. Well, a little background is that I was born in Japan, and I had dual citizenship at one time, and of course, my father was physically and verbally very abusive, and being the odd kid out because I wasn't in a special school for American kids at all, and so I was bullied often and beat up at school and everything like that. And, of course, my mother would always get mad if I stood up for myself, retaliated, whatever. I was supposed to just, you know, sit back and take it or something. And when my parents had separated when I was 8 years old, we came back to Wisconsin. Or she came back to Wisconsin with my sister and I, and that's where she kind of had upped her physical and sexual abuse. And my sister ended up kind of blaming me for it. And anyway, a couple years ago, actually 4 years ago, I decided that I was just going to step away from the whole relationship with my mother because it was getting too toxic. And my stepbrother actually kind of took her side and has not spoken to me in the last 4 years.
Mm.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, that's their loss. But I relate. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh, yeah. So, but anyway, since making that disconnection, I have found that my life has been a lot more peaceful, less stressful. The drama is pretty much gone, except for the usual everyday stuff. And, of course, I have my online family with NASCA and other great people that are also survivors, too.
That's right. You're stuck with your crazy brother, Charlie, tonight on the air. folks, and I just want to say to our listeners, you may hear us laugh once in a while. You may hear a joke crack. We understand how serious the topic is that we speak on and how much attention it definitely needs. It's okay once in a while to have a little bit of humor. It's not meant in disrespect in any way. So, Leica, wow. I mean, your work is incredible that you're doing, powerful, and I'm, you know, I am deeply sorry, as we all are, for each other and for ourselves about what we had to go through. But what do you think? I mean, I'm going to ask you a question, because I asked my daughter several years ago when I reunited with her after many years of being separated, what was one thing from her childhood she can recall that I helped her with the most? And what she said to me was very powerful. And I'm going to ask you, and the reason I'm bringing her up is because kind of what I'm reading here and what I'm hearing from you is the lens towards what she said to me. And she said, "Dad, if there's one thing that I can remember that you taught me from my childhood through all the time you were in my life, is that you grow through what you go through. No matter what life hands me, good, bad, or indifferent, I'll have an experience that I can grow from." That's kind of what I'm hearing that happened to you. Am I close?
Yes, actually, definitely. Because the incident that kind of made me decide to take that step to disconnect the relationship, I wish we could legally divorce some of our biological family, but the courts don't really like to do that. But anyway, she was actually texting and driving with my son in my car. All I asked her was, could she not do that when my son is in the car? And she comes back with, "I'm so disrespectful, ungrateful, rude. She doesn't know why she helps me with anything," and just kind of went on this whole entire tangent about what a terrible daughter I am and stuff like that. And it's like, hey, you know what? That's just enough. And of course,
that's when you have to say, sorry, sir.
What's that?
I was going to say that's when you had to say, or in my way of saying it, okay, don't let the door hit you where the Lord splits you. See ya.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And so then, of course, with my mother's husband, I just said, you know, I would prefer that if he's going to be with you then, that he be the one driving, because he's not one to even look at his phone if he's behind the wheel. And, of course, then he thought that was ridiculous. And it's like, you know, okay, you know, I had to bury my first son 21 years ago. My second son, who, you know, that's the one that was in the car, I just figure, okay, I don't need to plan another funeral for a child, not, you know, because it's not supposed to work that way. And so I didn't think that was being ridiculous on my part, because, you know, we know how dangerous it is to text and drive at the same time. And but it's just that, you know, after this big old argument, and my mother had actually forwarded the emails to my sister, and all of a sudden I'm getting all these emails back, and I actually saved them, you know, and she's calling me retarded. I don't know how many cuss words were included in there. I can't even count. And I just figure, okay, you know what? Forget her too.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, wow. I'll tell you what, how do you feel about doing a run through the panel right now? Is that okay with you?
Sure.
All right. And as I get ready to bring each panelist on, again, I kindly ask you to keep your interactions with Lika pertinent to her story, understanding that tonight there is an overtone in our Nazca family with the calling home, or the finding out the evening of the calling home of Laura Halverson. So let's go on and bring on our first panelist. I'm feeling some feedback. I don't know where that's coming from, but let's bring on Linda, my co-host tonight. Linda, you are on with Lika.
I am so sorry that you had a mother that sounds similar to mine. And they deflect. They don't want to hear the truth. And it really kills us inside, and they don't get that. So God bless you for standing up for your child regardless of what you got back. So thank you, and I look forward to hearing more of your story.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda, for being here and again co-hosting with me this evening. Next, we're going to head over to Joe from Oregon. And Joe, you are on with Lika.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Lika. And I too wanted to. I admire you for standing up for your child like that, and especially getting bombarded from all sides. It just they sort of show their true colors. So, and I'm sorry about the loss of your son. So,
thank you.
And I want to hear more. And how are you doing today? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Joe, we appreciate you being here on our panel again this evening. Next, we're going to go to Penelope. Penelope, you are on with Lika.
Thank you, Charlie. Hi, Lika. I've got it now. I've got it down now how to pronounce your name correctly, I hope. Thank you for providing us the correct pronunciation.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, I'm you know, hearing your story and like others have said before me, the other panelists, it's unfortunately I could really relate to a lot of it, especially when you described some of the you described your your relationship with your mother, and I'm so sorry that it's a strained one. I understand how difficult that can be, especially when you're trying to do the right thing by your own son and be a good mother, and you get lashed out at it. Just it's so inspiring that despite that, you've continued on to do so many great things to advocate for other women and victims. My question is, do you have siblings, and have they done some similar work as you have with respect to addressing the abuse and moving forward from it?
Well, my sister, my biological sister, we have the same both parents, is a doctor out in, I want to say in Bend, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. At least that was the news from 4 years ago, and I haven't kept up with anything. And then my stepbrother is a coffee retailer or wholesaler, something like that. And I always used to look forward to his Christmas cards because he'd do this big story about what's been going on in the last year, which I haven't gotten in the last 4 years, but I just figure, okay, well, that's his choice, so.
Wow. And they're aware, they're obviously aware of the work, the healing work and the work that you've done.
Yes.
Yeah. It's tough to feel like you're out on an island with your siblings.
Well, yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. But I just so inspiring, especially in light of, hearing about Laura today. You know, when we take the things that have caused us pain and use them to help others in the healing process, it's just, it's to me, it's that much more important and that much more important to hear about those things, especially today, to just offer some hope. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of the show and hearing a little bit more about your advocacy work in other areas.
Oh, yes, and I'm sorry to hear about Laura passing on, and then finding out that she's from my same state, and I think my tribute for her is she is now the guardian angel for all of us, and she's blessing us from heaven to go ahead and do our work.
Yeah.
So let's try to see it as we have higher connections now.
Yeah, that's beautifully stated. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Are you
Hello?
Muted again?
What's
Hi.
That?
Charlie, are you muted again?
Hello.
Oh, what's going on with my mute tonight? Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
I didn't hear anyone for a while, but I'm going to be muted, so I just want to listen if that's okay. Thanks.
Absolutely. So, Kathy, you want to just listen?
Yeah, I do, because I got called away for a little. I got family here on them, but anyway. Yeah, I do, and I'm going to catch up. And I was very glad to hear this news today. I didn't even know about it, you know. Okay, but anyway, yeah, I'll keep on going.
All right. Yeah, we're all kind of digesting it. We found out today.
Yeah, I didn't even know till right now.
Within the past few hours. Yeah. Well, we're here for you. If you need to call any of us or talk to any of us, please go on the NASS website, look our phone numbers up, and give us a call. Okay. All right, Kathy. We're here for you. Lika, I apologize. Me and that mute button, I'm going to pull that out of my phone and get rid of it tonight. I don't know what's going on with that. I didn't even know it was on. Let's continue on with wherever you want to go with your story tonight. If you need my assistance. I do tell people all the time, but we took an hour and a half when we start these shows. It sounds like a long time. And boy, does it fly by. And you've been on before, so I'm sure you know, Lika. We're already an hour into this show. So.
Yes, it does seem like it does fly, and with the Youth Voice Initiative, what started off as, you know, with the most focus on children, abused children or neglected children, and to pass laws to make sure that we're either enforcing or fortifying our laws to better protect them, because as we all know, perpetrators seem to get the light under the stick, and it had expanded to include, you know, women, because a lot of times moms are just as abused, but I've also expanded it to include men's issues also, just because it's kind of scary to find out that it's not just 1 in 4 girls up to 18, and it could be as high as 1 in 3 girls if you include college-age girls that are sexually assaulted. It's 1 in 6 boys that are physically or sexually assaulted by the time they're 18, and when you include college-age, that drops to 1 in 5. So that's potentially 20% of our male population, which is 20% too many, I think. And so I do have a petition up somewhere. I'll have to grab the link and maybe share it, you know, one of these days. It's called Male Abuse Awareness, and it's named after Baby Sean. So it's Sean's voice, I think. So, and this is to make sure that we have the protections in place, the same as the Violence Against Women Act, make sure that the men have support and a safe place to go if they're in an abusive relationship and need to get out. And, you know, at first I was, you know, thinking that some of these women's shelters would be a good spot. But then I'm thinking, okay, it might not be a good spot because a lot of women are abused by men. And then if you're a man who's been abused by a woman, does he really want to be in a house full of abused women who might freak out that there's a guy in the house? And how safe is he going to feel if he's already feeling ostracized from the start? So maybe as a country, we need to start something so that the guys have a safe place to go.
And I appreciate you doing that. I'm sorry, but
go ahead.
I definitely want to kind of line up with what you're saying and share how important that is. And we hear those statistics, 1 in 4 and 1 in 5 or 1 in 6. And, you know, as a male survivor, overcomer, warrior, transcender of all those abuses that we talk about, you know, my gut tells me it's probably even, the numbers are probably even closer than we think. But a lot of men, boys, and male species are taught not to talk about it or suck it up. You're a man, or you know, stop being a wimp. And therein lies, I think, a lot of the challenges that men face with addiction and anger and not knowing how to share their emotion. So to hear that you, someone who had been abused by, you know, both sides of the spectrum of people from your story, saw as a woman that men need support too. So thank you for that. And as I just sort of toss this out there as well, there are adult men, believe it or not, that are being abused and don't know who to go to. They're not even boys. My biological father was at the age of 49 sexually abused by his dentist and didn't know what to do and how to do it. How does a grown man of that age go forth and tell somebody what happened? And subsequently, for the next 25 years of my dad's life, till he was called from Earth, he lived in total torment from that horrid experience that then dictated his life for the next 25 years and took it over. So, yes, men need to be encouraged that, you know, we men, abuse happens. We can speak up. We can speak out. And we are going to be heard, listened to, and believed as well. And it's just sad that anybody is abused and that anybody is not listened to. But that's my little piece on that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it too personal, but it kind of blends in with what you're saying.
Oh, but I think for a lot of us, it is personal because, you know, whether we want to or whether we were told or not, and when someone does reveal their situation, I consider myself blessed that they trusted me enough to be able to say something. But how many other people, you know, like you said, men, you know, are socially raised to suck it up. You know, men are supposed to be the aggressors, not the, you know, abused ones. And, you know, how does this happen to a guy? And it's like, okay, all these social myths need to be debunked. It can happen to anybody. And none of us deserve it.
Indeed. And I want to empower some men out there, and listen, maybe some women who heard me say what I said about my dad a few moments ago. My father asked me on his deathbed, and one of the last things he asked me was, "Son, please make sure people know what happened to me, so maybe it doesn't happen to someone else." And so I share his story with his dying wish to do that. So I just wanted to share that. Wow. Amazing work you're doing, and man, I don't know. Thank you. Those two words, the only two words I know to say right now is thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Wow.
I feel it's a calling for me anyway. I don't know. It's just there's something in me that just kind of propels me that, you know, because a lot of other people might think, and I'm sure you've heard this, is someone might say, "Why me or why you?" And my answer is, why not me? I'm someone. Someone needs to step up.
Absolutely. Exactly. Why not me? You know, and that's so empowering because we can sit and wallow in what happened and go, "Why me?" And yeah, that shouldn't have happened. But then if we go, why not me? Why not me now? Why not me speak up? Why not me be the one to stand up and do something? So, yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. Wow. How do you feel about doing it? Well, it's only been about 10 minutes. We can go a little longer. I was going to say do another round of the panel. But I want, you know, do you want to do another round of the panel? Do you want to talk about something else at the moment?
Oh, we can do another round of the panel.
All right. Let's go ahead and do that because I got a feeling – our panel is going to want to interact if there'll be conversations that you and I just had. So let's get them on here. First, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Linda. Linda, you're back on with Lika.
Hi, Lika. Thank you so much for sharing. It's just incredible what you've gone through and what you're doing. And you're just one of the heroes. And I love that about you. And I'm feeling a little bit emotional tonight. When you said you lost your son, I lost four children, and we lost Laura today, and I'm just feeling a little emotional. So I'm just going to listen to more of your story. Okay? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. We appreciate you being here. Next, we're going to go to Joe from Oregon. Joe, you are on with Lika.
Hi. Lika, I'm curious. How do you go from someone who says there ought to be a law to actually creating a law or making a law, passing a law? How did you make that leap from just seeing the injustice of it or the being not right to actually make a law?
Oh, well, it started actually kind of as an accident where back in college I was newly elected president for the International Students Organization for the following school year. And over the summer, the guy that was in charge of the Multicultural Affairs Committee for Student Government had reached out to me asking if I could fill in as the chairperson for that committee and then attend the state student government meetings on his behalf for over the summer because he was going back home abroad for the summer. So, of course, I was surprised that, you know, he had reached out to me, and that led to me becoming the chairperson of the Women's Issues Committee, which then led to doing the advocacy for that, where I lobbied for the Fair Pay Act, the Miniskirt Bill, the Violence Against Women Act. And I was looking for another organization to join, but unfortunately, there aren't too many. There's a lot of charities. And you're actually the only blog show that I know, radio show that I know of that does this type of thing. I've never heard of another one besides NASCA. And, of course, that was after I founded my organization. But in not being able to find another 501c4, which that's the purpose to make the social changes necessary to change the laws where, you know, because I think with 501c3, you can only put up to 10% of your resources to changing laws, whereas if you're a 501c4, you can do up to 100%. So,
cool. Okay. Wow. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm learning a lot from you, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I just learned something about a 501c4, which I will be looking into. I like the end of it, the C4, because C4 is very small, but it makes a big bang when you blow it up.
Yep, it sure does.
All right, so next we're going to go to Penelope from Washington. Penelope, you're back on with Lika.
Thank you, Charlie. Hi, Lika. So I've never heard of the mini skirt bill, but I like it. And it sounds like it's that bill with respect to your state of Wisconsin, or is that something that's going to be or is a will be a federal at a federal level?
That was back in 1993, I want to say, and that was for the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I don't remember the bill number. I'm sure that it was an assembly bill, not a Senate bill, but we had affectionately dubbed it the mini skirt bill. And it was just kind of crazy how I ended up getting the signatures to put on the petition to bring up to Madison for that. Here it was the middle of February, and if anyone's been in Wisconsin during the middle of winter, you know it's pretty darn cold.
Yeah.
Every single day I showed up to Parkside wearing a miniskirt, and I wore a different one every day. And sure enough, I would get several people at various times of the day coming up to me, "Aren't you cold?" Then I would answer, "Well, yes, I am, but I have this petition." And then I would, you know, talk about how it's a bill that proposes that the attire of the sexual assault victim shall not be used as evidence against the victim, and it's gender neutral on purpose. I suppose that was kind of forward thinking back then, but gender neutral on purpose because, you know, let's face it, you know, we have men who like to look nice for whoever they want to look nice for, and they don't deserve to be assaulted either.
Right. Oh, I think that's incredible. And the fact that you donned your miniskirt and just went out there and you got done what you had to get done, I really commend you for that.
Yeah, and I think, and what the usual statistic is was college students in general, usually there's only about a 2% turnout rate for anything politicized, whether it's an election or a cause or whatever. I ended up being able to get 13% of the student body to sign the petition.
Oh, that is excellent. Awesome. That is excellent. And, you know.
Wow, that is quite an accomplishment.
Absolutely. How is the current environment with, you know, COVID-19 impacted, you know, some of the things you're working on now with Youth Violence Initiative? How have you, I guess, modified, you know, your work to be able to still move some of these initiatives forward?
Well, fortunately, as I see topics and other issues that need to be addressed, we still have phones, email, snail mail, to be able to contact our legislators. So I have been writing, you know, back and forth that way. And I also decided to add something to the repertoire is, let's say there's, you know, a case that involves a child and I can kind of at least interview them or talk to them on the phone or at least get, you know, a story. Usually there's someone else that can verify certain things with me, and I'll write a letter to the court on their behalf to be able to take to their court appointments, and that's been pretty empowering also. And I had actually started that a little bit before the COVID-19 shutdown, and I guess there was one judge who actually took my letter into consideration and put a lot of it in place. So,
oh, good for you. I just feel, I don't know how you feel, but I just feel like right now with the fact that, you know, we know that a lot of time, at least for me, you know, the safest place for a child to be was at school and not at home. We know that we need to continue on with this work, especially now, because of the environment that we're in. And it's just so important to keep moving forward. And it's just, I'm happy to hear that, you know, for in your case and the way you've modified, you've still been able to make some headway. I just feel like we cannot slow down. We have to ramp up.
Oh, yes, and that's also a great point, too, with the shutdown and the kids being at home. And, you know, I saw a meme a couple days ago on Facebook where it read something along the line of, children who are loved at home go to school to learn. Children who are not loved at home go to school to be loved.
So true.
And
so true.
And that just touched me to the core. And so now, of course, I'm trying to think of ideas on how we can address this issue, because now that it's summer vacation, or it's coming up right around the corner, this also means that there's three more months where the children have no place to go. And so, you know, and how do we address that when there's this safe distancing and all this other thing going on? And maybe we'll all have to brainstorm and, you know, start a group email or something.
I just know, well, where I live in Washington, we typically don't get nice weather until after, around the 4th of July. And everybody is, you know, even on, you know, quarantine aside, everybody's kind of in, you know, if they're not out and about at work, everybody's kind of in their homes. It's still cold. I'm happy that the weather's going to be nicer, yes, because you're going to be home for three more months. But people will be outside more. And I just feel that we are quarantined. Neighbors are home that normally aren't home. And as adults, now that kids are outside, or we can be outside more, and some of these restrictions might be eased a little bit, you know, we have more eyes and ears that should be open to listening in and hearing what's going on in our neighbors. And that, you know, in terms of, yes, the rate of violence against children, domestic violence is going up. But logic tells me that because people are home by the nature of the quarantine, they should be, if you see something, you hear something, you should be saying something.
Exactly.
And, I mean, in my own case, our next-door neighbor, when I was growing up, didn't know a lot of what was going on, but she did hear what was going on, and she did somewhat intervene. You know, but it's not, you know, as you and I both know, how do you recruit people and get people's attention to actually take that step to do something?
Oh, yes, and I also don't know how other, you know, departments handle it, but I know that here in Racine, you know, where I live, that when you make that police call, they want to ask you your name and verify your phone number, and, you know, if they can either stop over or call back. And you know, me personally, okay, If I were to make that phone call and the police showed up at my door and I'm calling on the neighbor, a street or off the block or whatever, I don't care if they see that I was the one that was talked to. But there's a lot of people that don't want to be in that situation, so then they want to be the hands off. And it's kind of like, you know, okay, it would be nice to know if there was a line that could be an anonymous tip on you know.
Yes. Right.
Absolutely.
That people, yeah, feel like they can make a lower risk call into their own, for their own identity. Almost
right.
Like a HIPAA, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the confidentiality. If they're, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I think a lot of us are. I don't care if they know my name. I'm going to call, darn it. You know, I'm going to, I don't, be loud and proud about calling, and I don't care if they know their name, my name, but a lot of people do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to grab, we did have another panelist join us. I do want to get them in here and give them an opportunity to share. This is their first round on the panel this evening. Penelope, we truly appreciate you being here. We look forward to getting you in on the next round, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Lika.
No problem.
You're welcome. And Lika, we have Mary Ellen from New York called in. I'm not sure how much of the show she's caught, but I'm going to put Mary Ellen on. Mary Ellen, you're on with Lika.
Hi, guys. Happy to join you. Sorry I was late. I kind of jumped in the middle of your conversation, so I've been listening for a little bit. Glad to be here tonight and happy to join all of you.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, Mary. Yes, Mary Ellen, thank you for being here and joining us and being a part of the panel. And we look forward to you on the next round of the panel. We should be able to get at least one more in. We've got about a half hour left of the show already. Already 1 hour gone, like I said earlier. It's amazing how fast the time flies. I do encourage those who may be listening right now live, you want to call in, this call in number 646-595-2118.
Again, that number is 646-595-2118. Give a call in, have an opportunity to speak with Lika and what she's doing and where she's been. And what a mover and a shaker. And when you were talking about the miniskirt thing and the fact that you wore a different one and the coldness up there, I've experienced the coldness when I was an over-the-road trucker up in the Northern Peninsula and stuff like that. And I was trying to picture myself. Now, don't get scared, folks, but I was trying to picture a miniskirt on a warm day wouldn't work. I couldn't imagine being a miniskirt on a cold day. Not so good. But what an amazing statement and a way to really grab someone's attention to the thing. I mean, yeah, it's thinking outside of the box. And the irony is sometimes outside of the box is right in the box. You know, like the stigma that's thrown on women because of their style of dress. A woman should be able to walk around with whatever she feels she's okay to walk around with, in modesty, of course, but they shouldn't be looked upon as, I don't know, a better word to say, but, you know, growing up around a lot of construction people in the city, you know, meat hanging on a rack going by. I think that's not, you know, that's not what it's there for. What a great way to draw people into what you were trying to, the message you were trying to get out. You opened the conversation, which is what to do. And that was really wonderful on your part to be able to have that happen. And pretty ingenious. You know, sometimes we think it takes a major thought process. Sometimes something, the simplest thing, can put the most powerful message out.
Exactly.
Have you heard of the polished male movement?
I've heard like maybe a little blurbs, but I don't really know much about that.
Well, it's kind of one of the out of the box things that I found that I like to do. It's a challenge to men around the world to paint one fingernail a particular color. And then that fingernail will draw people to conversation. And boy, when you see a man walking around with a fingernail painted, and I'm not talking clear, I'm talking like I'll paint them a bright color, like blue for child abuse prevention, bright pink for October of breast cancer awareness, whatever's going on this month, it's sapphire green for Lyme disease. But it just draws a conversation. If people say, well, what's your nail about? Oh, good, glad you asked. And then we just get into a conversation. So, yeah, wearing that miniskirt up in them cold weathers, that would definitely generate a conversation. So,
I like that idea.
And guess what? You can still stay warm. And if you have on gloves, you can only have one finger sticks out. The rest you can keep inside and keep warm. But
right.
Yeah, and you had mentioned Laura earlier, and you both being from Wisconsin. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. But Fond du Lac, that's where Laura was residing.
Oh, okay. Fond du Lac. Yeah.
Fond du Lac. I knew I probably meant that.
And we're probably all pronouncing it wrong because it is a Native American word.
Mm.
And I think there's a French, but then there's a French spelling to it too. So I'm sure the way we were pronouncing it is also very wrong.
Wait a minute. Well, maybe, let's see. I'll throw my wee-wee in there for a minute. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it is, that's where Laura's physical body was residing until she has moved on to live amongst us in her spiritual body throughout us in her memory. But how did you come up with the name for your organization? What generated it? I mean, I like it. It's empowering. But how did you come about it?
Well, since it was for our young people, you know, birth through 18, well, actually, I like to say when they graduate high school. But so I figure, okay, so just because there's that little bit just past 18, I figure, okay, so if we say children, we're kind of saying 17 and younger. And so I figure youth would be a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they need a voice. And because, you know, as we know, a lot of times when we're not 18 yet, unless we've been emancipated, we don't have a legal voice until we turn that magic number. And then it's a total initiative that has to go forth. So that's pretty much how I came up with it.
Well, that's great. And it's interesting that you say, because that is true youth. And dare I say, and I shall, that, you know, many of us on this show tonight, and listeners of the show, and members of the NASCA family, we're still youth. We just, the numbers just added on, you know. They're catching up with us. But what a wonderful thought process you put into that. Because, yeah, there is a there is that, when you hear child abuse, people automatically go to the little toddler or maybe even an early teen. But someone, you'd be surprised how many people, you may have heard this in your lifetime, because, you know, when you were 14, 15, 16, oh, if that happened to me at that age, I would have done this, that, and the other. Yeah, okay. Unless you're living in it, you really don't know how you would react to it. And when it becomes your norm, you don't know, or you're fearful to react. Or, am I right, when you reach out to help so many times and it just keeps happening, you just learn just to be quiet. So,
well,
I think it's wonderful that you've incorporated.
Well, yeah, and I know that for me personally, because I was kind of born into that environment, it's almost like it took me until I was, you know, 22 or 23 before I ended up realizing, hey, that totally wasn't right, you know, because for a lot of us, being in that abusive situation is the normal. So it's like we don't know better that we deserve to be treated better than that. We're just as human as the next person.
Exactly. Wow. So kudos on the work, and we definitely, you know, I'm embarrassed by myself that you and I have been connected. I just checked our social network connection. We've been connected on Facebook for quite some time, but we haven't done much interaction. And I believe that collaboration and cooperation is what's going to lead to really a better impact on what's going on. So I definitely want to make it a point to reach out to you and to stay in contact. And I think as we, you know, not to harp on the subject matter, but to say that, you know, tonight's show being dedicated to Laura, and I speak for myself, saying, man, I should have kept better in touch with her. I should have, you know, reached out, make sure she was okay, what was going on with her, that one more time or whatever. We can't beat ourselves up on what we did or didn't do. We know we did what we did at the time when we could do it. But could I make a better concerted effort to be in contact with people? Yeah, I could. Could I use an excuse why I'm not sure I could, but it would be just that, an excuse. And I think today what I'm going to draw out of this conversation, both with you this evening and in memory of Laura, is get rid of my excuse for not doing it and make it a reason to do it. So thank you for that.
Yes. Yes, and I would also like to be more involved with the radio show also. So maybe if ever you want or need another panelist, maybe I can join him some other time. And
You are right with it. Oh boy, you just, I know a few ears that are listening right now. Their ears are going, ooh, 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 and as are mine. So you are welcome to call in any Monday through, we have shows every Monday through Friday night at the same time, 8 to 9:30 Eastern time, and wherever you are across the time zone scenario, figure it out. But and we are always looking to add, you know, not only panelists, which are absolutely necessary, we're also looking for hosts and co-hosts that want to come on and actually do what I'm doing tonight or co-host what Linda's doing. And so, yes, there's definitely huge opening and need for that. And definitely reach out to someone, go onto the NASCA website, or I'm sure when a certain one of our panelists gets on, she's going to share some more information with you. Speaking of the panel, would you mind doing another round with the panel? We can get one more in before we can do one more, and then we'll do our farewell panel in the last run. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lika. So with that being said, I'm going to start off our panel with Joe from Oregon. Joe, you are on with.
Hi, Lika. Yes, if you are interested in the panel, you just dial in to that number. if you're interested to be a host or a trailer co-host, Bill is the one to contact. He would be very much like to talk with you. So just wanted to give you that. Okay. And because he will, we are, as Charlie said, we are looking at getting new hosts and co-hosts. So thank you. All right. And
thank you.
And thank you for explaining about your laws and the bills that you've passed. And I will turn it over to Linda. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you. And now I'm going to bring on my co-host, Linda, this evening. Linda, you are on with Lika.
Hi, Lika. Oh, you have done some amazing things with all the bills and all the work you're doing. I have a question. With all that you're doing, I know with the work I do, I get overwhelmed at times and I don't do self-care. What do you do for self-care with all the work you do?
Well, what's actually kind of crazy is that I love to cook. And I like to feed people. And I volunteer at a place called the Hospitality Center just because I don't have a regular paid job right now. And during the shutdown, because we feed homeless people, near homeless, those who are on very tight budgets, who might not otherwise eat if it weren't for our services. And so we were considered an essential service, and most of us aren't getting paid, but just wanted to be doing something. And when our regular paid cooks couldn't show up, my son and I actually are cooking 3 days a week between the two of us. So,
wow, that's incredible. Make sure you take good care of yourself because we need you out there. We need you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. And I look forward to hearing the rest.
Thank you, Linda. We appreciate you. And so we've got Lika and her son cooking. I will schedule my appointment to pop over and get a plate.
Chris, it might be kind of cold by the time I get to Wisconsin from Pennsylvania. But anyway, all right, let's go to Penelope in Washington State. Penelope, you are back on the air with Lika.
I know, I was going to say... That is space for me. I'm coming over too. It might take me a while, but I'm sick of cooking for the time being. I have a husband, two cats, and three really heavily eating teenage boys here during the coronavirus. So yeah, it'd be nice to have somebody else cook for a while. Here's my question, actually. So if somebody wants to get involved in some of the work that you've done, Lika, what would be, I don't know, one piece of advice that you'd give them?
I would say that regardless of if you have a little bit of experience or a lot of experience or anywhere in between, don't be shy, because sometimes it's just the willingness to want to help is all that's needed. And I remember when I was first drafting what was called April's Law, which was to put harsher punishments on those who sexually abuse children. And actually, the person that helped really polish up the language in there was someone who had never dealt with anything legal or political or anything at all.
Mm.
Just had a really good way of being able to word things. And sometimes it's just that willingness to help is what's needed.
Thank you for that. No, that is absolutely true. And I love what you said about why not me, because I think that's such a great attitude to have. And when I try to adapt myself, sometimes it's I have to remind myself, but when I also try and, pass on to my own children, but I do love that. And obviously it has served you very well.
Yeah. And, Oh, and what's just kind of crazy, too, is that my son, even from, or actually it's not crazy, maybe he gets it from me, I don't know, I'd like to think so. Even as a little boy, he was one that I think the term is being an upstander, where if he sees someone else who's being bullied or teased or picked on, he will step up and, you know, say something, and it usually does get the bullying to stop.
I love that. I love that. There's proof that, you know, the work that you're doing is, you know, that cycle's been stopped. That's great.
Lika, you took the child welfare system known as family in your home and you applied it and its principles. And yes, it sounds like you have an amazing son. Oh, he has an amazing mom. So can't speak for dad because I don't know dad, but I can speak for mom. He's an amazing mom and wow, great stuff. We do appreciate you being here, Penelope. I'm going to get off to our next panelist, Mary Ellen. I know she just jumped in a little while ago, but maybe in the last few moments she picked up something you want to have a conversation about. Mary Ellen, you're back on.
Hi. Yes. I was just listening to what you were saying about improving the laws for harsher punishment. Yeah, it seems like they have a tendency to get off way too easy. So I admire your work. That's definitely needed. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Let's see, what do we have here? We still got a little over 15 minutes left of the show. I don't know. Where do you want to go with what we have about here, Lika? Is there a message, something that's really in there that you feel like you need to lay out? We haven't talked yet.
Just kind of a little blurb about April's law is it ended up dying in committee because it was the end of the 2-year session, but the senator that had gotten newly elected in the district that I was in ended up taking chunks of it and passing them as individual laws over the next few years. So even though it's not in officially as April's Law Wisconsin, there are chunks of it that did get passed. So I have to say I'll claim that as a success, even though they don't have me attached with anything. But I just figure maybe that's what was needed to get something stirring, and it's about the kids, not me, so I'm happy with that.
Wonderful. April, I believe you said April's Law, right? April?
Yes.
Okay.
And,
could you possibly enlighten some of our listeners and even some of our panelists on what April's Law is in a brief subject, what it's about, and what the impact is we want to have come from it?
Yes, April's Law is the legislation that I had proposed several years back to make the law stricter on those who sexually abuse children. It was inspired by a little girl whose name happened to also be April, which is why it got named April's Law, who was sexually assaulted at the age of 6, and she had contracted an STD. And going through the legal system, I guess the courts were not very kind about the case, and it's just that her whole story, I'm sure it's out there someplace. It's probably on my website, too. So if you look up Youth Voice Initiative, it's a Google site that there's more information on there of exactly what that's all about, about the person that it was inspired after. And so it's just, there's so many other compelling stories also that, I wish I could give a lot to everyone.
I definitely understand that.
I was part of the grassroots movement in New Jersey in 1994 that spearheaded and got Megan's Law passed, not only
yes.
in New Jersey, but then across the country with the sex offender registry. I lived a little under 2 miles from Megan Kenka's house in Hamilton Township, New Jersey, where that happened. So, I don't lay claim to doing anything other than getting the word out there and getting support behind it. You know, I wasn't doing anything working in legislature or anything like that. I was just grassroots guy on the street saying, hey, we need to do something about this. So.
Cool.
So thank you for giving us some insight on what April's Law about and where our listeners can go to find out more about that. There's many laws named out there after many victims or some even about people empowered. What do you see yourself doing in the next few days, weeks, and months? Hopefully once COVID-19, I don't know what you guys are doing up there in your part of the country as far as being restricted, but we here in Pennsylvania, hopefully Friday we go from being a red light district, which means we can't do much of anything, to a yellow light district, which means we can start doing something as long as we say, Mother, may I? And they say, yes, you may. But anyway, what are your plans in the near future? Let's say post COVID-19, when we have some sense of freedom and being able to move about again.
I'm thinking that now that I have this new section to my resume, if you want to say, that I've been able to cook for 120 people. I'm hoping to be able to do some kind of a barbecue, whether it's with the neighbors or if I want to do like a fundraiser or something. Now that I have
cool.
people that can vouch for the fact that I can cook well, maybe I can raise some money for
it. 120 people can say they survived eating your food.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so maybe I can put that in and maybe raise a few dollars to put into the cause. So if I need
Wonderful.
To get up to Madison, for anything, I have the gas money to do it.
There you go. Well, and as you said, as you mentioned earlier, YBI is a 501c4. I'm guessing that can still be contributed to just like a 501c3?
Yes. Yes, and
okay.
There is a PayPal on the website, and unfortunately, though, because it is not tax deductible, I don't know why they do that. Maybe it's because I'm changing laws or something. So what I usually try to suggest is, you don't have to give anything too big, just something really small, you know, whether it's $5 or $10, you know, just little bits where, you know, because if a lot of people do a little bit, then it adds up to a whole lot, so.
Yeah, well, every little pebble put together creates a mountain. So
yep.
The mountain isn't a mountain without all the pebbles, so. Yeah, it's very important. And I say this, and I run a nonprofit. I'm the executive director of a nonprofit, and I also have a benefits corporation, which is a hybrid between a nonprofit and a regular benefits corp. And then I have an LLC,
okay.
which doesn't call anything in. But that being said, I've always said that whenever I've given it, and please don't anybody take it, any indictment on you or any pushing me something on you. But I say this, when I've given, I don't look for anything in return. So if I'm looking for that tax write-off because I'm giving, I won't give then. Because I'm not, in my mind, I'm not giving with the right intention, you know. So I
no,
encourage
right.
folks, if you're going to go to YVI and you're going to give and you're looking for that tax write-off, just give yourself a checkup from the neck up and see where you are and allow nobody's condemnation to come upon you, but allow whatever conviction may come into your mind to do it is whatever it is. So I would strongly suggest if you have the ability, and I know we are all in very tough, stringent financial times right now with COVID-19, but you have the ability to $1, $5, you know, $10, maybe $7.50. Let's do something in the middle. But see what we can do to help out this cause because, I mean, look at the amazing work that Lika's been able to get done already and how much more work could she do? Not for herself. None of us are doing this for our own well-being. We're doing it for the future, that children will not have the experiences we had in our childhood, or hopefully won't anyway. Am I correct in that, Lika? I'm not overstepping my bounds?
Oh, no, definitely not. You're absolutely correct. And for so hopefully someday no one will need us, you know, in our current roles. But then, you know, for those in transition, maybe what we do is helping them find their voice, which is also a very awesome thing, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I do look forward to that day that, you know, I tell when I speak, wherever I spoke at different child abuse intervention and prevention programs, different, you know, wherever I'm at, maybe organizations, schools, police departments, whoever I've been blessed to speak at, I tell anybody that's in the child abuse intervention and prevention business that is not attempting to put themselves out of business needs to get out of the business. Because this is not a business we want to grow. This is a business we want to drive ourselves out of so we can go into something else. But in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that?
Exactly. And my goal, too, is, you know, hopefully someday I'll be able to fire myself. You know, point the finger
exactly.
Right up here and say, You're fired.
And then we'll all head down to a beautiful nice beach somewhere and have virgin pina coladas and put our feet up. But Charlie
exactly.
Won't wear a miniskirt. Sorry, ladies. Well, I'm not wearing a miniskirt.
Okay. We won't make you do it. Yeah, so, but I mean, in the meantime. In the meantime, if it inspires someone to make an appointment with a counselor, you know, to talk about it for the first time, you know, or they're calling NASCA to be on, you know, guest on this show, or they're filling out the court papers to get out of the situation, whatever it is, okay, if it inspires them to find their voice and take that first step, that is an awesome thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, we are winding down to about 5 minutes. I do want to afford an opportunity for each of our panelists to come in and bid you a fond farewell. I never say goodbye. I always say see you later. Or in this case, it would, guess it would be hear you later because I can't see you at the moment. But let's go ahead and give another round to our panelists. Each of them come in and give you a fond farewell and whatever's on their closing, on their minds to close out the show with you.
Okay.
And first, we're going to bring on Linda. My co-host has done an amazing job tonight. Linda, I appreciate you. You are back on with Lika.
Hi, Charlie, Lika. Charlie, when you mentioned Megan's Law, I walked to school past that street where that happened, and I still remember when that news broke, when it happened. So you're going back a ways. That's what you're doing is so amazing. You're giving a voice to so many who don't have a voice, and I just want to thank you tremendously. You did a wonderful job tonight, and I know people are going to listen to this going forward. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. And Linda, yes, I lived in Hamilton Township where that happened. I was actually, if you know where Cypress Lane is off Whitehorse Mercerville Road,
yep,
that's where I live.
Yep.
And I was actually heading to the police academy in August of 1994 in Hamilton Township to become a Hamilton Township cop. But God took me in a different direction, and here I am today. So, yes, I know that area very well. My daughter, born and raised up in there and graduated from Robbinsville High School. But let's move on to our next panel. Cindy, you have been an amazing co-host this evening. Thank you for your nudges when I forgot to unmute myself. And we appreciate you being here. I look forward to working with you in the future.
Good night.
Next, Joe, Oregon. Joe, you're on with Lika.
Hi. Thank you, Lika, for being here tonight. And I really appreciate you sharing all that you've done and for what you're doing. And I really appreciate what you've done. So thank you. And I look forward to being on the panel some more coming out. That'd be great.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye.
You, Joe. You're always a breath of fresh air, and I appreciate you. Lika, Joe will on many occasions on Wednesday nights. Joe is my co-host and trailer, but
as we said earlier, we are bringing in people. Linda's come on board now. I believe Linda is the host on Monday nights most of the time for the special guest show. So I just want to give a shout out to Linda for the work she's doing. Next, we're going to go to Penelope in Washington. Penelope, you are on with Lika.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. And Lika, I just wish to thank you for everything you shared and everything you do, and for some of the tips and guidance and advice that you shared tonight too. Just thank you so much, and I wish you, you know, well until the next time we speak.
Yes, thank you, and until next time.
Yes, until next time.
Wonderful, and thank you, Penelope, once again for being a devoted panel member, being on here, and your interactions. We truly appreciate you. I'm going to go to Kathy from Maine, who was listening, but I believe she may want to come in and share some ending of the show thoughts. Kathy, are you there with us this evening?
Am I here?
Yeah,
am I
are
here?
You here? I saw you. I don't
okay,
know. You're here. We're all here because we're not all there.
Okay. I did hear. I've been in and out because my husband's not well. But I tell you what, it has been amazing. I'm looking forward to I like that Lika said she's in answering what does she do for self-care, she gets busy. She gets out there and does stuff. And that's very, very good. It's very, very good. I'm glad to hear that. I did a lot of things, but not toward child stuff. Now, you know, child abuse. Now I'm really wanting to see all the statute of limitations removed. You know, I think England's
yes, and that's one of the things we do need to work on is extending those statutes. So,
because here I am at 67 years old. You think my, you know, I mean, I don't think my the guy who raped me should be walking free, but you know, mm-hmm. I'm working on that because it has been lifted in one state, so I got some charges going there. But it should happen everywhere, and you know, there should
right.
be a date, you know. That's all. And, but hey, there's lots of things that should happen. I did a 501c4 for the same reason a long time ago, but it was for housing. Anyway, that's great. It's always good to do stuff. It's very, very, very therapeutic. So, and
right.
I love, and I'd like to talk to you again sometime. Bye.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate it. And next, we are down to a minute. We're going to get Mary Ellen on here from New York. Mary Ellen, we got a little less than a minute for me to close out the show, but go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for all the education, and I will definitely go back and listen to the beginning of this session. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And
take
thank
care.
You, Mary Ellen. Lika, I want to thank you so much for your amazing energy, for sharing your story with us tonight, for doing the work you're doing. And, yes, I make a commitment today in dedicating this show to Laura to making sure that I do my part, not to use an excuse, but a reason to reach out. Folks, this has been the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I'm Charlie Stecker, and as I close off each one of our shows on Wednesday night, I say this to you. The only adult that is not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, be blessed, and stay healthy.
Blog Talk Radio.